Ooh, yeah. I am the chick mongoose, and oh my lord, is Bono in the room? Do we got you too? I hear singing around here because holy shit, it is bloody Sunday here in the Dungeon of Doom. I am solo because not to my right is not Sal Baps, America's favorite degenerate gambler. Sal Baps from being in the streets of South Philly, being the raging alcoholic that he is, the Italian stallion, being with his girlfriend, actually having a social life, unlike this guy. He seems to have caught a cold, so Sal Baps is going to be out for tonight. Probably a good thing, because Sal Baps went 1-5 this past weekend. Shout out to Sal Baps, always overachieving in life, 1-5, although this guy right here, not a whole lot better. Went 2-5. Definitely thought long and hard about not telling you all about the Arizona first half -6.5 pick that I added on the Twitter and Instagram feeds, which is why you should follow us at Butter and Hose on Instagram and Twitter. But definitely thought long and hard about deleting those tweets and, you know, how many people will actually know I made that pick. Just be 2-4, not as bad. But because I am a man of integrity and most things that I do, I am going with my actual record of 2-5. So we got that going for me. I am now 500 on the year, 35-35. Sal Baps here, after that 1-5 absolute ass beating, now goes to 32-34. Still not too bad. Together, we are 67-69. Hey now, bringing us for a total of, let's do the math here. Oh, I just said it, 67-69. On the bright side, the weekend started out pretty glorious. We did hit the boss cock lock here, putting us to a 7-4. And I have the fucking speech text going as I'm saying all this shit. No, Siri, stop it. Stop it. You do not need to be saying everything that I am. Hey, we do want to give a huge shout out, though, to AP for Liberty. AP for Liberty, Austin Peterson, the man, the myth, the legend. If you guys missed it, and how dare you, we were on AP for Liberty show here on Rumble last Wednesday. I'll be honest with you guys, I have friends who are mutual friends with Austin. They say good things about him. I actually supported him for fucking president in 2016. To connect with him was pretty cool. Austin is the real deal. He is a man who believes in liberty, speaks his mind, speaks his truth, even when it's not going to be taken, let's just say, nicely by the libertarian community, as open-minded and accepting and loving as a libertarian community is. Austin speaks his mind, zero fucks given. We had an absolute great time on the show. We didn't know if we'd only be on for like a couple minutes. It turned out nearly 15 minutes we were on the show. It was a fucking hoot and a half. And we followed Judge Napolitano. Judge Napolitano, if you couldn't have gone from a more different group and conversation than Judge Nap, the fucking ledge that he is, shout out to Judge Nap. Shout out to everything that I've ever heard him. Remember when Judge Nap on Fox News screamed, "Taxation is theft"? How fucking cool was that? That was like one of the coolest like moments for me watching like broadcast news growing up. Judge Knapp screaming taxation is theft. Shout out to the ledge that is Judge Knapp. But yeah, we fucking followed him. And I don't think Austin's audience was ready for the madness, the craziness that is me and Sal Baps, but we gave it. And the live audience seemed to really appreciate it. And Austin seemed to really appreciate it. And his awesome wife, Steffi. So one more time, thank you to Austin. Please subscribe to his channel at AP for Liberty, at AP for Liberty. So let's get back into it in the college football melee. Guys, we got to start off with the huge news. Jimbo Fisher is out at Texas A&M. Am I shocked by this? Absolutely fucking not. Do you guys know just how much freaking money is there at A&M? I mean, do you know the oil barons just, you know, smoking tobacco, getting a little dip in there, chilling in the weeds of College Station, Texas. Crazy money there. Those guys are fucking serious about their football. Everybody says how delusional Texas A&M is, and I don't think so at all. They are there in the heart of Texas with more talent than a fucking 1999 Hooters pageant. They got crazy money, as we said there. It is a college town. The town runs on Texas A&M. It is a football school. Despite them not having won a fucking national championship since J. Edgar Hoover, they are a football school. They should have high expectations. They, up until next year, they were the only SEC team in the state of Texas, which brings me to point number two. A&M did this move because A&M had to do this move. They absolutely had to fire Jimbo. Texas is coming to the league next year. The one thing that you had, A&M fans, I have to tell you this, the one thing that you had on Texas, on all those liberals in Austin, was the fact that you were in the SEC. And Texas had the Big 12 and the Longhorn Network that, you know, nobody watched. It's a whole different ballgame. Texas is starting to get a little momentum here with Sark, starting to really build a real football team on the offensive and defensive line of there. Maybe talk about them here in a little bit moment there. But nevertheless, A&M had to get rid of Jimbo. Guys, I lived in Texas for 2 years. Let me give you a little analogy here. Everybody talks about the Red River rivalry, which is bullshit. It's not the Red River rivalry. It's the Red River shootout, okay? Can we not be fucking PC in college football, please? Everybody talks nationally about the Red River shootout, about how that's the big rivalry. Don't get me wrong. On a talent level, on a championship level, A&M versus, Texas versus Oklahoma is absolutely a huge rivalry. But I'm telling you, as a guy who lived in the state of Texas, for Texans who, there's only one state, guys, where the state flag can fly as high as the American flag. Texans do not consider themselves Americans. Texans are Texans. In the state of Texas, the biggest rivalry is Texas A&M versus Texas. It is literally in the fight song for the University of Texas about, you know, them saying goodbye to A&M, all that, you know. I don't even want to attempt to sing it, but it's in there. Trust me. A&M had to make this move. They are scared shitless for what Sark is building. They are scared shitless that they're going to have another 50 years where they are the little brother to Austin. So, who does A&M go after now? As I've been saying all year, it has to be Mike Elko. Up until Riley Leonard gets hurt in that third quarter against Florida State, Duke was absolutely rolling. Duke was beating Florida State in that game. They kicked the shit out of Clemson week one. They were undefeated going to that Florida State game. And here you are with Mike Elko doing an absolute fucking, you know, magician's job there in the mean streets of Durham, North Carolina. And he's available, former defensive coordinator. He has to be number one. There's also rumors of Dan Campbell from the Detroit Lions. If you can get Dan Campbell, if you can sway that big of a stick, which I believe A&M can sway that big of a stick, that's what she said, why not go after it? But I do believe option number one has to be Elko. Come back, get the program solid. He's going to make all that defensive talent. He's going to make you probably the top defensive unit in the SEC year one, if not, you know, number two behind Georgia or Bama. So that's A&M. In my world, here in good old PA, James Franklin lost yet again yesterday in Beaver Stadium. Take a drink if you've heard that one before. James. Firing offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich may keep the heat off of you for a couple weeks. It may. Don't get it twisted. I know better. The Penn State fan base knows better. You're a fake fucking coach, James. That's why you are El Supremo, El Dictator of Salbaps, FFCFC. If you don't know what that means, fake fucking coaches club. You are the Emperor Supreme of the FFCC. You are not a coach. You are a recruiter. You are a recruiting coordinator and wide receivers coach on a national championship squad. I will give you that. In fact, I'll even give you that you're a mini Deion Sanders as far as a hype man, as far as a CEO. You did great at Vanderbilt. Congrats. The SEC was dog shit. And you did keep Penn State afloat after the whole Jerry Sandusky scandal. But Penn State fan base, how many more games, how many more years do we have to endure of James Franklin? It is getting to a point now, much like the national media pundits did to Clemson for years, to Georgia for years, where they're saying, oh, Penn State has reached its potential as a program. This is what Penn State is. A 9-15 program. Garbaggio. You know what Penn State is? They're a two-time national championship program in the 80s. Penn State also had myriad undefeated teams in the 70s. 1993, shout out to Nebraska. Kerry Collins, Kajana Carter were the absolute fucking best team. Now, yes, did we dip down a little bit in the 90s and then the end of the Joe Paterno era? Yes, fucking Joe Paterno was running an offense that was from 1960s still, okay? He didn't even know how to use fucking Skype, okay? So, yes, the end of the Paterno era was not great. Having said that, this is still a top 15 state as far as producing talent. Shout out to Micah Parsons, Nick Singleton. Let's go down the line. There's a lot of recent NFL Pro Bowlers from the state of Pennsylvania. Still a very good state. Pitt's been absolute dog shit. So you can't say you're getting any kind of real competition from Pitt. Narduzzi can't fucking recruit to save his life. You still have plenty of talent in New Jersey. Still have a shitload of talent in Virginia and Maryland. This is the only state in this part of the country that has fucking college football degenerates like me who eat, sleep, breathe college football. Penn State has the biggest alumni network in the world. Say it again for the Raptors. The biggest alumni network in the world. The most millionaires for any college or university. It's not Harvard. It's not Yale. It's not Stanford. It is the Pennsylvania State University, the most millionaire alumni in the world. 110,000 fans were there at Beaver Stadium yesterday. Pretty fucking sad to see Drew Allar. It was supposed to be good. Supposed to be a five-star recruit. He had about 70 yards passing. I'm not going to say that I could have had more than 70 yards passing against that Michigan defense. That's true. I could have definitely had half that much. That's just not fucking good enough at Penn State. That's not good enough in the Big Ten. That's not good enough, James Franklin. So where does Penn State go from here? I mean, in a perfect world, we get James Franklin the fuck out. We get Matt Rhule to come home to State College and revive Penn State and what we actually are, which is a top seven program, a program that goes to the college football playoff every 3 years and wins a national championship every 20 years. That's what Penn State is. Do not let this go on any longer. You woke fucks running Penn State right now. This program, this football program, as you damn well know, supplies the entire budget for all 30 fucking sports we got there. So if you don't want to lose women's volleyball, you need to get this fucker out. If James Franklin doesn't go, we got to go after Joe Moorhead. Once upon a time in 2016, James Franklin was about to lose his job. Oh, it tastes so sweet. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm having a climax here on camera, thinking about James Franklin getting fucking fired. James Franklin actually did something smart. He hired Joe Moorhead. Joe Moorhead had a generational talent in Saquon Barkley. Joe Moorhead had a solid defense. Joe Moorhead had a fucking Tim Tebow light quarterback in Trace McSorley. Joe Moorhead won a 2016 Big Ten championship for Penn State. James Franklin just happened to be there giving fucking pep talks on Twitter. You got to go get Joe Moorhead again. He's a head coach at Akron in the MAC, just kind of middling around there. Akron is a fucking tough place to get W's. Also, apparently, it's a tough place to have passing math scores. Shout out to LeBron James Academy. They're in Akron doing big things as far as underachieving. Shout out to LeBron sucking off Xi Jinping's penis there at the CCP, but I digress. You got to get Joe Moorhead, come back, run the offense, pay him whatever fucking money he has, and just hope to God Manny Diaz stays around for another year, because this Penn State defense, once again, outside of, you know, up the middle there, we still need to shore up defensive tackle. This is a national championship winning defense. What the offense did was absolutely putrid. Moving on, our last coach getting canned, major coach that is, Andy Avalos at Boise State. You've heard me on this show talk many a times. They got LaDainian Tomlinson Jr. there, fucking tailback there in Jalenti. This fucking dude, skitter that way, skitter that way, skitter this way, touchdown. Fucking unbelievable. They've been just fucking, talk about offensive ineptitude. They've been basically Penn State West. Avalos there has not been able to settle on a quarterback. This Boise State program, this is what happens, guys, when you fuck up on a couple hires. Brian Harsin, you know, still was pretty good, although I argue that he was overrated considering what he inherited from Chris Peterson. You bring in Avalos there now. This is a Boise State program that should be running away with the Mountain West, and they may not make a bowl this year. Unacceptable. I don't know who Boise goes after, but I would look right at UNLV. I've been saying it all year. Brent Marion, offensive coordinator there at UNLV, he should absolutely be the head coach of a Mountain West program next year, if not even, let's say, a program like Houston, okay? If you're Houston trying to shake things up, you're in the new Big 12, whole new ball game. He's a guy I'd go after in a heartbeat. UNLV, the running Rebels, besides delivering on the boss clock lock, UNLV's 8-2. UNLV may win the Mountain West. Shout out to Barry Odom. Shout out to that defensive staff he brought over from Arkansas. But the real MVP, Brent Marion. Fucking dude is legit. All right. So let's go into the picks here. Let's go into the fucking mayhem, the anarchy, the blood spilled. That was this weekend's past games and our picks. I'm going to try to defend Sal Baps here. Let me look at this fucker's picks. Let me see who he actually thought was a good idea to bet on. All right, Sal Baps pick six. He was in on Washington minus 8.5. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I am going to talk about Washington here, though, in a little bit. Unless the line's moved, I'm about to bet Washington for week 12. Not on them, but on a line involving their game. You gave up 28 points to Bryson Barnes. Bryson fucking Barnes. I mean, this dude is basically, I don't know, fucking, he's autistic Cam Rising, okay? He is not a good quarterback. This kid, was there ever a doubt in your mind when Washington missed that field goal at the end that Utah was going to drive the entire field in 90 seconds? Like, did you actually believe that was going to happen? But to give up 28 points to Utah, Bryson Barnes at home, this Washington team is broke. Penix is still, you know, pulling it together. Roma Dunze, they got some stud wide receivers there. This Washington team, though, I love Kalen DeBoer, broke. Washington, I don't think, is going to win the Pac-12. If they make the championship game here, which, you know, I still they still have Washington State. They'll win that, and then they have Oregon State this week. What am I saying? They might not beat Oregon State, but nevertheless, if they do make to the championship game and they face Oregon, Oregon's gonna roll them. I'm gonna fucking lay the house on whatever that line is. Right now, I would make Oregon 7. 7 flat, Oregon. In Vegas on neutral field? Absolutely. And I would pick Oregon to cover that all day long. So, Sal Baps, I see what you were saying, though. This one's inexcusable. Sal Baps had Tennessee minus 1. Sal Baps, we just went on Austin Peterson's show, AP for Liberty. We just had a great time with the mayor of Missouri. He's the mayor of the entire state, Austin Peterson. And Sal Bepps had the nerve to bet against the in-state school of Missouri and take Tennessee on the road. Guys, can we just admit that Missouri is actually legit? Like, they went into Georgia, and they actually scared the shit out of Georgia. I know Brock Bowers didn't play that game, but let's just admit, Missouri is good. Missouri also probably has the SEC's best non-conference win of the year against Kansas State. Without that non-conference win, what's the SEC done? Not a lot. But Missouri is absolutely legit. I think Missouri's going to go 10-2. They're definitely going to beat Arkansas. I don't know who they have this week, but they're definitely going to win the fucking... I don't even care if the game's in Arkansas. They're going to win the boot game. So, Sal Bepps, so, yeah. Next one here. He went with Lane. I'm going to defend him here on this. Plus 10.5, Ole Miss was. Lane is Laney Cover should be his name, because that's all he does is cover, except about 5 weeks ago when he cost me $30,000 in a nine-leg parlay, my only game that did not hit against Bama, that was. Listen, this Georgia squad, though, is rounding into form. Carson Beck looks fucking good. They got the fucking white wide receiver there, Ladd McConklin. He's a fucking – that dude's a burner. That dude's legit. I know he's a white guy. I know it's, you know, you see him out there as a wide receiver, as a DB, you're thinking, okay, it's a white guy. I'm good. I can take this play off. And then the dude just fucking zips by you for a touchdown. Unbelievable route runner. That dude is absolutely legit. And then Brock Bowers being back, give him a couple weeks maybe to round into tip-top shape, but still, this Georgia team is looking like a three-peat, dare I say, for national championship. And then Sal Bepps did nail Ohio State. Very good, Sal Bepps. Oregon minus 15. I didn't love this play. I liked the over, which I bet myself, which did not hit either. This was USC's last ditch effort. Depending upon who starts for UCLA this week, if they can get Garbers or Moore back, I think UCLA is the play in that game. Usually in that game, you know, if it is a big line, you want to take a rivalry game like that, the dog. But and then last one here, I'm going to defend him. Air Force minus 19. Starting quarterback for Air Force got hurt in the first quarter. Guys, talk about teams that are broken right now. Air Force was about to go to a New Year's 6 Day Bowl. They were about to win the Mountain West. Not so fast. This team has lost 2 weeks in a row. Starting quarterback hurt. Not good. Let's move on to my picks here. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Started off with a nice $500 play on UNLV. Team over 28.5 I had. And that hit. 21 points in the first quarter for the Rebs, although they did go scoreless in the second quarter. Did give me a couple hemorrhoids there. That was not good. Kansas, minus 3.5. Jason Bean got hurt, okay? So even despite Bean getting hurt, Kansas still almost found a way to win. Shout out to Lance Leopold. Stanford, plus 21. They were coming off a bye, okay? That's what I'm going to say. Don't look at the final score. Just... don't do that. Michigan minus 5.5 against my Penn State Nittany Lions. That was the easiest fucking play on the board. We knew James Franklin would find a way to blow it, and he did. And now he's firing his offensive coordinator to act like he's going to get the program straightened up, and he won't. And then finally we had also, oh God, I don't even know how to talk about this one. Oklahoma State. The most baffling game of the weekend was Oklahoma State minus 2.5. Oklahoma State lost, I believe, 45-3. There was some driving rain there in Orlando. They were coming off the big win against Oklahoma. You know, a letdown game is you lose by a touchdown, you lose by 10. This was a anally raped up the buttocks type game. Basically, they went down there to Orlando, and after about the first quarter, they just checked out. Like, yeah, bruh. We're not getting hurt in this rain. It's been real. They didn't even have fucking rain equipment. How do you go to Florida and you don't have rain equipment. I mean, they had it there, but it took them like a quarter and a half to get it. By the time they finally got it like out of the tent, it stopped raining. But the entire second quarter, it was basically a monsoon, and Oklahoma State didn't have rain equipment. Zero fucks given there. Shout out to the equipment managers, Oklahoma State, doing big things. Killing me. Fresno State, San Jose State over hits, despite Mikey Keene getting hurt at Fresno State. We will watch that. And then the USC Oregon over had no fucking chance. Shout out Alex Grinch getting fired. Lincoln Riley got to get Dave Aranda in the offseason. All right, so let's move here to next week. Let's move here to getting back another maybe 5-1 week. Right now here, I'm sitting at 500. Sal Babs is going to kill me, but I'm doing it. I got me a couple dogs that I love. I like going down to the animal shelter. I like seeing what babes are there. I like petting the doggies. But in the world of college football gambling, I absolutely love me some dogs. Pick number one. Official play for week 12. We are giving an official selection to the Illinois Fighting Illini on the road at Kinnick Stadium against the Iowa Hawkeyes, who proved that in the state of Iowa, you can score more than 21 points. Yesterday, with the shutout of Rutgers, 22-0. Nevertheless, I am putting an official play on Illinois plus 4.5. Guys, you may have missed it yesterday. The quarterback for Illinois, Luke Altmaier, transfer from Ole Miss, he was hurt. In his stead arose a young knight whose name is escaping me right now. He set the all-time school record for Illinois. He had over 500 yards passing. To say that this kid was an improvement over Altmaier would be like saying that fucking, I don't know, Pam Anderson, 1998, would be an improvement over fucking, I don't know, whoever's in a Calvin Klein ad now. Whatever fucking fat obese dyke is there on the front pages of Calvin Klein. Nothing in comparison to old school Pam Anderson. This kid is in fuego. This kid is going down to Iowa against a very good defense, but nevertheless, in a Big Ten West game, guys, what do? Anytime the line is more than 3, we take the dog. This kid could very well go down there, and Brett Bielema, if you don't start this kid, if you put Altmaier back there at quarterback, Brett Bielema deserves to be fired for something so egregious, so stupid, so knuckleheaded, so old-school, defensive-minded head coach. You have to fucking play this kid. Until this kid goes out there and looks like a backup quarterback, you got to send him out to the dogs there in Iowa, out in the fire, baptism by fire. This Indiana squad is actually pretty legit, and they found their own quarterback there. Shout out to Indiana playing good football. Almost knocked off Penn State a couple weeks ago. I wish you would have got the W. Maybe we would have got James Franklin fired. But I'm all over Illinois plus 4.5 with a new quarterback. Also some running backs there getting healthy. Illinois starting to look like the team that we expected them to be this year in the Big Ten West. Next play, I'm doing it. Going to my favorite place. Sal Babs is going to make fun of me, but I just see it now. Picture it with me. It's just no humidity. It's just a land that you can see for miles on end. It's a land where the blonde poontang pie comes out of the Colorado River like nectar from Switzerland in May. It is a land that Barry Goldwater once said the Federal Reserve was bullshit. It is a land where fat fuck Meghan McCain comes from. It is the land of Arizona. It is the land of Arizona State. I am taking Arizona State and all those delicious blonde whores plus 22.5 at home against Oregon. A little bit of a letdown game, I'm thinking here, for Oregon. You have Oregon State, the Civil War. I know we're not allowed to call it that anymore, but it's the Civil War, even though Oregon had nothing to do with the Civil War. Nevertheless, Oregon, I don't think, is going to give the full 100% effort for the entire four games. Guys, did you see Arizona State just went into UCLA? I know Garbers was hurt. I know Moore's hurt. Arizona State, outside of a couple weeks ago when they were literally playing their fourth-string quarterback, Kenny Dillingham should get consideration for Coach of the Year. I know it sounds crazy. They're 3-7. They've been a fucking covering machine all year long. When Dillingham has a decent quarterback there, which looks like this kid played just fine against UCLA. I don't see anything on the injury report. I'm going to go with official pick, my Arizona State Sun Devils, plus 22.5 at home there in the desert against an Oregon team that is already looking forward to probably an Oregon State game and a rematch with Washington in Vegas for the Pac-12 championship game. Give me the Sun Devils. If they even won, would it shock me? Yes, it would. It would shock me, actually. If they kept it within 14, would it shock me? No. No, it would not. And that leads me to my final play. Sabaps is going to kill me. I'm literally giving out half my slate. He's going to say, oh, man, you don't even wait for the injury report. You got to, like, get the vibe check. You got no Sabaps. I am a value picker. I go down to Goodwill. I go down to the farmer's market. I get me some sales, some locally produced sales, line value. Pick number three. I'm doing it because they're broken. I'm taking the over, 63.5, Washington at Oregon State. Oregon State just put up like 63 points on Stanford. I know Stanford. Not always good, but they've been good sometimes. And Washington is broken. This defense here, something's wrong, man. Penix is just good enough right now to keep it going. So that's also part of the reason why we're going to be with the over. But something's going on here with Washington, and I don't like it. I don't like it very much. But I tell you what I do like. I do like Oregon State at home in the mists. The mist, the fucking spooky cabin weather of Corvallis, Oregon. I am all over the Oregon State Beavers, those disgusting, fantastic black and orange uniforms. Crowd's going to be into it. Only two games left for Oregon State in the Pac-12. It's now or never. Literally. Now or never. So I do think Oregon State is going to bring the juice. Defense has been a little bit underwhelming, a little bit disappointing this year as well. That's also one of the reasons I'm going to go with the over, but we're going to take it now, cap it. Washington, Oregon State, over 63.5. All right, guys, that is the Week 11 reaction show minus my partner in crime, Sabaps. He doesn't have any last words because he's not actually here. He will be here Tuesday, though. He promises. So let's get Sabaps back in the fold. Let's get some winners. Let's get some fucking winners. Some fucking winners. Not to be confused with let's get some wieners. Because I got that right here. The Cockness Monster. Ready to explode. On your face, because God knows I'm sick of letting it explode on my own here in the woods of rural Pennsylvania. Dear God, help us all. Say your prayers. take your vitamins, grow your own food, make that bread, butter them hoes. Kobe. Ooh, Sal Babs, you see that one right there? Ooh, Nelly. That was impressive.